Learn more about the fascinating journey of Ibn Battuta, the first ever travel writing by Ibn Jubayr, and the courageous Chinese explorers Hing He. We bring you stories from the travels and lives of nine Muslim explorers that brought us modern-day geography, map-making, and cross-border trade. Mondays to Fridays during Ramadan 2016 at 8:15 a.m. Repeats at 6:50 p.m. The Global Village, the vast expanse of an unknown world discovered.
Who she was, nobody knows. She was buried almost 1,200 years ago in Birka, 25 kilometers west of modern-day Stockholm. Birka, on the strategic Bjorko Island, was an important trading center during the Viking Age. Many archaeological finds have been made there, among them Grave 515. The mystery woman was found lying in a rectangular wooden coffin. Though the skeleton was completely decomposed, the clothes, jewelry, brooches, and a ring indicate she was a female.
It is unknown if she was a Viking woman or she belonged to a different ethnic group. Was she perhaps an Arab woman? It is equally unknown if she prayed to the Viking gods or if she was a Muslim. But her ring, with the inscription, "For to Allah," is exciting and unique material evidence of direct contact between Viking-age Northern Europe and the Islamic world.
In fact, the ring had been found at the end of the 19th century and was kept in the Swedish History Museum in Stockholm, among other finds from the Viking Age. When researchers last year used a scanning electron microscope, they discovered that the silver ring had a stone of colored glass. Thus far, is the only ring found in Scandinavia with a Kufic Arabic inscription on it.
According to research by Swedish biophysicist Sebastian Varmlander, the ring had rarely been worn, and she was likely passed from the silversmith to the woman buried at Birka, with a few owners in between. From Varmlander and his colleagues, the ring suggests direct contact between Viking society and the Abbasid Caliphate that ruled most of the Middle East at the time. The ring's owner, or someone close to her, may have visited the Caliphate or its surrounding regions.
The mystery surrounding how these vastly different cultures became intertwined has intrigued and continues to intrigue many.
Some named it the mysterious ring. Some actively deliberated and debated questions as well as made up theories of how or why it arrived in Sweden. It is worth noting, however, that this was not the only contact documented between the Viking and Islamic civilization.
This segment, part 4 in our series on Islamic geography and travel, will shed light on the transmission between the Viking and Islamic civilization regarding this ring and beyond. It also aims to address the misconceptions surrounding the discussion of the Islamic world during medieval times, along with the relationship between Viking and Muslim civilizations, which demonstrates how far historical amnesia spans.
There have been many Muslim accounts of Scandinavia, some of them quite early in time, with as many as 50 early Muslim writers making such descriptions. The best known description is that of Ibn Fadlan.
Ahmed Ibn Fadlan, Ibn al-Abbas, Ibn Rashid Ibn Hamad was a 10th century Muslim Arab writer and traveler who led an embassy to the king of the Volga Balgars. His account is most known for providing a description of the Volga Vikings, including an eyewitness account of a ship burial.
Not much is known of him in terms of his life before the expedition, and much of his record was lost. History accounts for the fact that Ibn Fadlan was allied to the Abbasid general Muhammad ibn Salman, who led several military campaigns from Egypt to China. Ibn Fadlan was a faqih who, during the 10th century, served as secretary of the delegation sent by Khalif al-Muqtadir to the king of the Balgars. The king had requested help in building a fort, a masjid, as well as personal instruction in the teachings of Islam.
In his rihla, Ibn Fadlan describes his experiences and the people and places he visited. He describes very extensively the populations that lived in the region, their trades, manners, clothing, diets, living, hygiene, and also their customs and religious practices.
Describing the extremely short nights as a wonder of the land of the Slavs, Ibn Fadlan says that while he was sitting for the Adhan for Isha Salah, he began talking to a tailor from Baghdad. However, when he heard the Adhan, and when he came out of the Qabba, only to discover that it was morning, and he had only talked for less than half an hour. On asking the Muadhin, he found out it was a call for Fajr Salah, and that Maghrib and Isha Salah were combined. The nights were shorter than even this. It was so short that if a man put a cooking pot on the fire at Maghrib, then offered Fajr Salah, the pot did not even boil.
Ibn Fadlan says he found the day was extremely long and the night short for a duration in the year. And then the night was long and the day was short. The following night, he sat outside the Qubba watching the sky, and he did not see except few stars, perhaps 15 spread over, and even when the horizon was red before sunset, they did not disappear. As the night was not so dark, a man could recognize another man from a distance of an arrow throw.
He saw the moon not crossing the middle of the sky, but appeared in its neighborhood for an hour, and then it was morning, and the moon disappeared. The king with whom Ibn Fadlan had an audience told him that on the other side, north of his country, at a distance of 3 months' journey, there were people called Wasu, whose night was less than an hour.
Again, at sunrise, the earth and the mountains and everything glowed in red until the sky became dark. The inhabitants informed him that in winter, the night stayed throughout the length of the day and the day stayed throughout the short period of the night. So much so that if a man went out at Fajr to Volga, a place less than 5 kilometers away, he did not reach it until Isha, when all the stars were out. So, he did not leave the country until the nights were long and the days short.
Reflect now on the words of historian and curator, Dr. Anna Maria Brennan.
The ring was found in the 19th century, and only recently has the Arabic inscription been noticed. It makes you wonder how many other artifacts are out there that are undiscovered. There are thousands, if not millions, of manuscripts waiting to be translated and studied. What gems, what precious information, what insights into history are hidden within them. Europe is inundated with links to Islamic culture, yet many still see the two as worlds apart. Take a closer look and we see castles, fountains, books, ceramics, artifacts, tools and many other things throughout Europe, all beautiful reminders of a golden age of Islam. The presence of this ring shows how prolific Islamic culture was. At one time, trade and education were what people from all over traveled to Islamic civilization for. The dirham was the strongest currency. The discovery of this ring is a wonderful souvenir of a time where people of all background and beliefs lived and worked together in harmony.
Join us in part 5 as we learn about Al-Muqaddasi, the Palestinian geographer, inshallah.
The Global Village has been researched and compiled by Hafiza Rayhana Umar, narrated by Ijaz Khan and Tufail Patel, overseen by Mufti Yusuf Musaji, a production of Radio Islam.